Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the
show. Todd Bob Horowitz with you, and what is going on, everybody? March Madness starting tonight, and of course, thank God we got March Madness, because the markets got March nothing. They got the continuation of nothing going on, nothing to get excited about, and it's just a continuation of the same crapola that we've seen, for months on end now. The desire to continue to go higher, which is fine. I mean, there's no issue with that. The desire for no volatility. And, of course, everybody wants to be part of this market. They need to get in. They're doing their thing. And, you know, hey, it's fine exactly, what it is. And I have no problem with that, except that it really stunts the growth of people that want to trade, right? It stunts the growth of activity. It's great for investors, pretty crappy for those of us who want to be more active. But again, we're not going to force it. I mean, the markets will do what they're going to do, and we're going to see. Obviously, there will be some selling at some point. There will be some issues, and of course, I think some of the interesting things we're starting to see is we now see the most insider sales in 20 years. 1997 was the last time we had this much insider selling. Now, do they know anything? Well, I mean, it's not that they know all. I mean, it wouldn't be something, but it certainly shouldn't be an overall surprise either that they're starting to take some profits out of the market. I mean, I think this is one of the things we have to, always look at is, are we going to see some profit taking? We have not seen some profit taking basically recently, but maybe we're going to start to see some now. I mean, there's certainly enough reasons to be concerned. All right. I mean, let's look at it from a very simple pure standpoint. There are many reasons to have many, many concerns here in the overall market. Now, what would those concerns be? Well, again, if we just look at the basic, will Trump and staff be able to get what they want to get passed? And it doesn't look like it's going to happen quite so quickly. So I think that has to be something that has to be weighed into it. I think, valuation, now you can listen to either side of the valuation argument. But I'm going to give you the right side of the valuation argument, because I have no axe to grind. I have no reason to mislead you in one way or the other. I have no benefit whether or not you trade or don't trade. So I'm going to give it to you straight. The markets are overvalued. There is no, I don't care how you want to spin it, the market is dramatically overvalued at this stage. Now, does that mean that we're going to go down? No, it doesn't mean anything. It means that the market's overvalued. But just because it's overvalued today doesn't mean that it's going to go down tomorrow. So you should never, think or look in those terms, because, again, the markets will do what the markets will do. And I think this is the important thing for you to understand, is markets are going to crank and do their thing. All right? Now, they're going to do sometimes what you would think to be totally illogical. And we get that. We know that. Now, are we going to, try to act off of an illogical market? And the answer is no. We have to sit back and wait and watch for a reasonable footprint. Now, from a valuation standpoint, yes, we are dramatically overvalued. But, as is in many of the things that we see, and if we start with the Fed, and this is not a bash of the Fed, but, their goal is always to, you know, if they print money today, they're hoping to use cheaper money later to buy that back. So if valuations are high today, if the market can somehow resolve itself and they can catch up, then they won't be so overvalued. So that's the things that you have to look at when you watch the market is, you know, because if the stocks don't sell off because of the overvalue and come back to fair value, the market could catch up. So it isn't like it's a guarantee that we're going to go down or we're going to do anything. The guarantee is that at some point there will be fairer valuations or what we would consider to be fair. So, you know, you've had people talk about, well, you know, there's some that are not fair. Well, you know, one thing I understand about the PE ratios and things like that is very simple. If the industry standard is X, then there isn't a standard PE ratio in the market. In other words, if, you know, you say 17 is the number. Well, you know, some may be 17, some may be 12, some may be 30. And that is what we have to understand and look at is not each, you know, that there's a standard number, because there isn't. There is a, you can compare it to maybe the industry, you know, Coke and Pepsi should probably be somewhere around the same price to earnings ratio. You know, Walmart and Target might be somewhere close, but, you know, but Pepsi and Netflix probably are nowhere near. Walmart and Amazon are probably nowhere near. And again, if you're looking at direct competition sector for sector, then you would expect and you would look at those by the sector and make your decision. Versus if you were looking at something else, you might not get the same. So again, don't compare, you know, certain companies to other companies, because you're going to find out that you're going to be way, way disappointed. All right. And I think that's something that, you know, many of us get caught up in is the worry of that, well, you know, I've got Apple and its PE ratio is 10 today, so it's cheap. Well, is it cheaper? I don't know. You know, markets are very efficient in putting together what the right numbers are. So I'm certainly not going to step out and say that they're cheap. I'm going to say that, you know, the markets will dictate what they should be. And I think that is the more important thing, is let the markets dictate to you what they are and not you tell the markets what they should be. I mean, you know, right now Apple is like 16 and a half, all right? You know, if we look at, you know, Baba is only 7, okay? So, you know, are they comparable? You know, so it doesn't matter. I mean, I think you have to look at, you know, Google is 31. So, you know, you look at different numbers and they give you different answers. I mean, Amazon is 174. That I can say is absolutely high, but it is actually down from 700. So, you know, they are coming back down. And when you look at different animals, different types of stock, you will see that they change. I mean, you know, Tesla's a minus, which means that we know they don't make any money. Versus U.S. Steel, which is still a minus. Let's just see what we're going to look at here. We'll look at Facebook, which is 40. So many different numbers, many ways to choose. And the bottom line is don't get caught up in that stuff. Your concern is about the footprint of the market, the footprint of the stock that you're looking to buy or sell, and then making the decision based on that. And then if it starts to change, then you would look to change with it. But until then, you will continue to do the same things. And that's the way it is. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We're going to step out here for a break. But in the meantime, libertytalk.fm, the only station you need. And that's where you can download The Bubba Show every day and The Sporting Edge on the weekend. And Bubba's Bottom Line, brand new, really cranking out, having a lot of fun. Go to BubbaTrading.com and check that out. We'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show. We'll be back right after the break.
Wake up, Maggie.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you on this March Madness beginning Tuesday. We got two games tonight, which before the end of the day, we'll give you the our predictions. Did you any of your teams miss out? Are you a Syracuse fan? Are you pissed off that that old cranky, whiny old Jim Boeheim got missed again? Does it bother you? Remember, it is a business. It is the business of money, and that's just another form of ways that they make some dough and trade away. But I think, one of the things we got to look at now here is, the sudden plunge of Kudrow. Not that we're concerned. I mean, certainly I'm not concerned. I mean, I predicted it, so I'm certainly happy about it. I think it goes lower. I think it goes down to around the 40 range, and then we'll look to see if that's the right number in which we'd want to step up and rebuy it. Certainly, from a trading standpoint, you might want to buy down here for a little bit of a dead cat bounce. Certainly, wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. From a longer term perspective, I mean, I think we got 40 has been our number. I think 40 will stay our number. I think that you have to look at, tomorrow we have the Fed. And, of course, they're going to raise rates. There's no question that they're going to raise rates. Now, are they too late? Are they going to only raise 0.25%? There's a lot of things to think about. But, based on, what we see, we saw a pretty good jobs number. We saw, we're seeing some better economic data. Now, again, I think one of the things you got to be careful with, the economic data that we're seeing, in my opinion, has already been priced in to the market, in my opinion, and it better start getting better, or we're going to start to see some selling. Now, I don't see it getting much better. I mean, consumer confidence and those numbers are at all-time highs, and you're getting convinced, and this is always the rub. This is always the thing that irks me, gets under my skin. You've got all these advisors and pundits and everybody wanting to push you into the markets now. You haven't been in there for 8 years, so why would you jump in now? I think that is a bigger problem. I think that is a bigger story. And I would be very concerned about trying to bring some new money in here to the market. I would say that the odds favor a big correction here. Big is obviously a relative term as well, but I would expect to see markets correct. I would expect to see some issues come take place in the overall market. And again, I'm not trying to give you gloom and doom. All right, I'm just saying that again, statistically, mathematically, one of the things you can do best for yourself in any form of risk taking or we're not going to call it gambling, but gambling. You really just have to put yourself in the best position. And one of the things we like to talk about, quite a bit is, if you're trading, all you want to have is the statistical edge to the market. And how do you know that you're getting the statistical edge? Well, if you're buying something or selling something on a solid footprint, you are now creating that statistical edge that gives you a better shot to be right. Now, it does not guarantee that you'll be right, but it gives you a better shot. If you're playing, if you're gambling on a game or you're gambling at the poker table, I mean, from a gambler standpoint, if you look at, the overall business of gambling, the first thing is you'd like to find a good, solid underdog to play. Why? Because the bookmakers, they know that the market or the games are people bet favorites. So immediately that if you bet an underdog, you have a slight edge over the favorite because usually you're getting a half a point to a point more than you probably should be getting. Okay? And so you want to look for the best way to play sports handicapping or sports betting is to find the what we call the live underdog. All right, so in the NCAA tournament, you find an underdog that you could see as the favorite, And when we're looking at a live underdog, we want an underdog that we feel like can win the game straight up. So you have two ways to win, covering the spread or covering the point spread. So you're not looking at that team that's getting 40 from, you know, Duke, you know, as a 1 versus 16. What you're looking for is a team that can probably win that game. Now, obviously, you would not be betting too many underdogs in the 1 versus 16 matchup, because the 16 has never beat a 1. So already you know you're probably going to lose the game, so now it's the question of if you can cover the point spread. But those are things just to look at. You know, again, all we're trying to do is create a statistical edge. I mean, at the end of the day, that's really what it's about. Trading, gambling, poker playing, you know, bridge, gin, any of the games. We're trying to create some statisticals, okay? So, you know, one of the things that, you know, I always offer, and I've had a few questions come in, and there was a question to me, will I ever have a webinar on what is the difference between a product and a company? Recently, you discussed briefly the examples of GoPro and Snapchat. And I don't know that I'll have a direct webinar, I mean, but certainly I'm going to discuss it right now. And, you know, when you look around, and let's look at, you know, the recent companies that have come out that have actually failed, and that would be Fitbit, GoPro. I believe Snapchat will fail as well, but that's sort of the ones that we can prove. And they have a great product. You know, GoPro was a great product that brought one item, but they don't have anything to fall back on. And, you know, as is in business, you know, you come out with something successful and everybody's out there trying to knock it off and bring out something similar. And so the GoPro model, you know, was great for a product. And eventually it will probably be bought out and be a product for somebody. But as a standalone company, they don't have enough to rely on. You know, when you have a company, you need other products in case your main product is not performing well at the time. You have other products to fall back on. And of course, GoPro and Fitbit do not have those things. They are one trick ponies that don't have any other products. And that is when you talk about whether it's a product or a company, because there's not something else that they can look for. And I think that's where, you know, we get confused. And we get too caught up in the hype of what's going on, because we start to see and want that these things would be correct for us. And at the end of the day, they are not. And that's, so when you're looking at something, you know, you look at, you know, a company that starts out small and they build, but they have a product line versus a product, you know, and then of course they grow from the little company. You know, Apple, you know, started out with, you know, Apple, believe it or not, started out with a crappy computer way back in the day, you know, the old floppy disk. And of course, now they have everything, you know, tablets, computers, laptops, phones, blah, 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 the whole thing. You know, and that, so they're a complete company, you know, and you look at the Facebooks of the world. I mean, they're a service company. You know, they don't have a real product. They offer a service, so that's a company on its own because of the services that they offer. But you go back to the one-hit wonders, and that's typically why they are one-hit wonders, because they only have one thing. And again, if your one thing isn't performing at that particular time, then there's a much bigger problem to look at. And that's when you look at whether it's a company or a product, and that's why you always want to be very careful on a company that is built on just a product, because, you know, those products will eventually wear out. And I think that will be eventually the problem with something like Netflix. Now, Netflix is kind of in between somewhere because they offer content. But, you know, eventually they're going to not be able to keep up with the content. So they're that's what you look for in a product versus a company, is when they only have a one product or one thing to sell, they're really not a company. They're just, they have a nice product. And, you know, that's why you see a lot of things, they try to stretch out and build their product line. But anyways, interesting. Just something for you to think about the next time we have the next hot IPO. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to go step out here for a break. But in the meantime, I want to remind you, LibertyTalk.fm. Download The Bubba Show every single day. Get the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, the brand new sensation, Bubba's Bottom Line. Once a week, you can get that at BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. We're going to stop our break. We'll be right back with more The Bubba Show.
You're so delicious.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Here we are the day before the Fed. Actually, the Fed meeting started, but we know they're going to raise rates. There's no issue. They're going to raise rates probably 3 or 4 times this year. I mean, again, that this is the time that they're going to start to go, and, you know, they're not going to probably stop. There's not as much analyzation on where they're going with this. And, you know, I think that this is, you know, just a natural, and it should be. I think it's better for everybody. But again, we had a couple other questions I want to go over. And sometimes in your shows, you mention the sales and the challenges of a salesperson. Were you ever a salesman? Could the subject of sales be a future topic for an upcoming show? And yeah, we could do that, but we'll give you a brief explanation right now. I was a salesman way back when I was 17 years old, 18 years old. I actually worked for Pitney Bowes. That was my only job back in the day before I started trading full-time, and I was a senior in high school and was a salesman there, you know, lied about my age and got in and did pretty well. And but my point about trading and salesmen are very simple. You know, the reason that good salespeople make a lot of money, the reason that good traders make good money is for a number of reasons, but the biggest reason, the emotional toll that selling door to door or selling cold and trading is, you have a lot of emotional swings. Your mind gets ripped, your heart gets ripped out of you a lot of times. You know, you work really hard. You know, let's say there's a statistic in selling, you know, if you're a phone salesperson, you know, so you got to make 100 calls to maybe get one. Well, there's a lot of rejection in that 100 calls, right? And it's disheartening. It's you know, you continue to get bashed, you know, and you get, you know, if you're, like I said, you're doing sales, or even if you're going out door to door. I mean, you're getting the door slammed in your face, you're getting your ass kicked, you're just getting beat down, and it's those that can overcome the beat down. It's those that can continue to keep their emotional balance and understand that really it's not, you know, whether you get this one or not, it's a statistical numbers game, that you'll understand it. Because in trading, it's the same way. You know, you take a lot of losing trades when you're trading. There's many, many, many losses out there as you're trading. But the key comes down to, just like door-to-door sales, is that you have to continue to play the same statistical model. Amazing how we come up with the same thing there. But it comes back down to being a model that is statistical. And if you're using the same method to trade, and you're using, you know, and you know that you're hitting, you know, let's say you just know you hit 50-50. Okay, which is fine. All right, you can learn how to make money off of 50-50 as well. But you can go, A, in long extended losing streaks. You know, the laws of large numbers, you know, don't mean that, you know, if you make 100 calls as a salesman today, doesn't mean you're going to get one sale or one lead out of it. It means that, you know, over the math, over the time, I mean, you might get zero for a week. You might make 500 calls in a week and get zero. And then the next week, you might make 500 calls, you get 10. So you're back to the average of one per 100. You might get a day where you might get 5 in one day out of 100 and then, you know, go blank. So, you know, it's the same as flipping a coin. I mean, there's a number at which the numbers reach out. And it's the same as any other form of probability model. It's about playing the odds and the probabilities. So trading, as in selling, can create a lot of emotional downturns in your mind. And that's where most people get trapped and upset, because they are simply, you know, they cannot take the browbeating, the emotional downturns of, you know, losing money. I mean, you know, I've lost, I can't tell you the numbers, but they're big. They're over six figures in a day. I mean, that's pretty emotionally draining, and you have to be able to get through there. You have days that, you know, I always love to tell the story. You know, it's a Friday. You get drilled for, you know, let's say 10, 12,000 on a Friday, and you come home. Your wife says, well, we need a new heater. We need a new air conditioner. We need a new water heater. Okay, and then of course the kids come up and say, hey, Dad, we need some money. Well, you can't say, well, no, I can't give it to you. I had a bad day. You have to just smile and go with the program. But that is the environment in which you work in which you live in. And you have to learn how to emotionally deal with that, because that is where the things change for people. And that's the difference. Most of the time, that is the difference between success and failure, is the ability to able to tolerate bad days, because you know they're going to come. You know, there's nothing that we do that never has a bad day. All right. I mean, you know, if you're in a relationship, you know, you have bad days. I mean, there's going to be, you know, some disagreement somewhere. And again, it comes back to the emotion of being able to overcome those things. And that's what we talk a lot about, the emotions of trading, the emotions of being a part of it, the emotions of a lot of things that we have to go through as human beings. And if you can get through those things, then you find yourself in a much better position longer term, that you understand where you belong and how you're doing it, and you will then not have the major emotional swings. And I think that's something that, you know, it's the game, again, the game is mental. And if you can live with the mental part of the game, then you have a dramatic, you've increased your odds of success dramatically. Because when we look at how it works, you know, if you're watching right now and you're seeing, like, for example, if you're in the farming business, all right, you've got the worst of everything going for you right now. You might be short futures, trying to hedge against your portfolio. The cash markets are going crazy in cattle. But we know statistically that's going to turn back, and somebody's wrong there. And in the meantime, you know, it takes a lot of emotional talent to be good at a business that has so much down to it, because you're always worried about something. You know, it's like, you know, when I was in the flea market business, all right, and I had, you know, I had 30 trucks a week, I had 30 shows a week that I'd have a crew. I'd have 90 people out on the road every week, and in these big trucks, and, you know, I would never rest easy until I'd get one good rest a week, which was on Tuesday, all right, Tuesday night, because. On Tuesday night, or Thursday night actually was better. Sorry, Thursday, because on Thursday the truck was parked. It was unloaded. There was nothing in it. Whereas every on Monday when they packed up, you know, Sunday night they packed up. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they were at a hotel somewhere with a full truck of goods with $100,000+ worth of goods in that truck. And we've had a couple of trucks stolen, so that's where I can tell you that part of the balance. But what I'm saying here is that, you know, over the weekend, they would be handling an enormous amount of cash. And, you know, so until I got that cash sent to me, you know, I was very, very nerve-wracking. Then they had the trucks that were full. That was very nerve-wracking. So the only good day was a Thursday when they actually went and unloaded the truck into a guarded security hall. So the truck was empty. There was no money. And I could rest. And that, again, but it, you know, not everybody can do that. Not everybody can take that type of mental abuse of what can potentially go wrong. And so that's always something that we need to look at from, you know, and again, you relate it right back to trading. Trading is about being able to handle the bad streaks. Because again, you're going to, you know, I had a trade last week. I was short Google, the stock, and put an order in to buy it. And I got 38 shares at where I was trying to buy it. And I had just a few more short. And the next thing I know, it was 8:45. Now it's 8:60. All right. And I missed. And you have to be able to deal with that, which means that if you're using the right types of money management, if you're using the right types of information, then you know you can deal with that, knowing that there's a chance that something could go wrong. All right. But you're prepared for it emotionally and mentally, so that it doesn't drag you down the rest of the way. Because again, if you allow things to drag you down, it takes away your effectiveness and your efficiency. And again, that to me is something much, much bigger. And that's where you'll see emotions will make more people fail than anything else. And that is really what it is. Because basically we're all the same. And it's how your internal clock, your internal model works on whether or not you're going to be better or not. So that is something that you want to make sure that you understand, because again, it does take a big heart to be in this business, because a lot of bad things do happen during different periods. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm is A, the only station you ever need. B, that's where you get The Bubba Show every day and The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And our brand new, soon-to-be Emmy Award-winning Bubba's Bottom Line, available at BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. We're going to stop by for a break. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
After 10,000 beers and 28
years, Tuesday, the kickoff, NCAA March Madness. And of course, we will have our predictions before the day is over. So they'll be in this segment. We'll give about who we like and start our handicapping for the tourney, because of course we do like the activity. We like being involved in the tournament, and so you will get our selections. And so now, as we look and again we wait, you know, and we're waiting and we've got, you know, so many different reads on what's going to happen next. And you know, this is the kind of the theme today, and this is where you can get the statistical edge on the market. We know that there is only so much more room to the upside before there'll be a pullback. So, you know, and it doesn't mean that you run out and sell or short. It means you're just prepared by watching the overall footprint of the market. But I think one of the things you're seeing now as well is the market has a big reason, a big way to lull you to sleep because of what's happened. And, you know, what happens is when we get lulled to sleep, we also become sloppy. And that's when you make errors. You know, it's if you're not operating at the optimum 100% and get sloppy, usually sloppiness equates to losing money. All right. Now, even when you're at your best, doesn't mean you will not have a losing trait. But sloppiness will almost always lead to losing money because you're not focused on what your task is at hand is, the big prize. And the big prize is to be able to enter into the market and be able to focus in on making money, which is why you're trading. Or if you're investing, to be putting yourself on the right things. Now, you have two different emotional states on whether you're investing or trading. Obviously, trading, you're looking for much more instant gratification. And trading, you're looking for the long term. So your gratification does not have to be as instant. It just needs to be something that you're looking for. And you're trying to make sure that you just don't lose much. But you do want to make sure that while you are involved in the markets, that, again, what is your time horizon? But the other thing is, you cannot, you know, if you remember Gordon Gekko, never get emotional about stocks. And of course, how did he lose his money at the end? He got emotional. And we cannot afford to be emotional. You have to understand the risk. So the idea is to recognize the amount of risk that you're comfortable with. Now, again, I'm not saying you should be comfortable with any number, but you're going to have losing trades. And the key is you want to make sure that the losing trades that you have allow you the opportunity not to be, not to have a position that puts you in a bad spot emotionally. And so you have to figure out, what number is that? Is that number $100? Is that number $1,000? Is it $10? You know, what is the number at which you start to feel uncomfortable with? What is the number in which you are not sleeping well at night? And that has to be where you have to be. Because again, if you've noticed the whole theme, it's really about the emotion, the human emotion that we see becomes much bigger a player. Because, you know, again, if you've seen, you know, pro athletes, you know, they talk about, you know, their emotional side of the game, and that is the biggest side of the game. But it's even more so in trading, because if you're a baseball player, you have to have the skills. And so not only do you have to have the emotional, but you have to have the skills. And skills are not taught in pro sports. I mean, you're born usually with a little bit more of something, and you're just better. You know, Michael Jordan, not only was he was just better than everybody else, but he did work the hardest as well. But he was just better. You know, golfers are just better as a rule. You know, I've hit 5 billion golf balls, and I'm still not a pro. All right, so you can go out there for all you want, and you know, some guys get there, some guys don't. But in trading, trading is a learnable skill. Investing is a learnable skill. And if you allow yourself to be put in the right position, then you can put yourself into that professional trading. So although we can't be a professional athlete, but of course some of you might be, but I'm not, tried. But if you're not a professional athlete, but you can be a professional trader, because there are things that you can do as a trader, right, that will allow you the ability to get through. But that starts out with your head. You know, again, I always love the quote from Cool Hand Luke, you know, Strother Martin and Paul Newman. And he says, Luke, you got to get your mind right. And I'm just telling you, you got to get your mind right out here, because that's the hardest part to overcome. And, you know, I warn all the time about it, but that is the hardest part for anybody to overcome, is the emotional side of the trade, because it's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to get pissed off. It's easy to get depressed. And that's just the time that you figure that you're probably going to lose money. And that, obviously, if you get depressed from that, depression leads to more depression. And more depression leads to more bad trading. And I think you get the picture, right? So right now, the best way to avoid all of that stuff right now is to sit back and kind of observe the market, you know, look for it, try to pick your spot, you know, and not let it shake you out, which means that your risk has to be tolerable to where you won't get upset. And if you do all those things, all of a sudden, now you are saying, okay, here I am. I'm in good shape, and I'm ready to go, and I can deal with some of the disappointment that I'm going to see. Because again, you're going to have it. It's going to happen. There is no way to avoid it, so you have to avoid it as in your mind, not in your not in the rest of you. Okay? And that's really where it comes down to. And as promised, in the NCAA tournament, we'll cover this a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow. But for tonight's games, we've got Kansas State playing Wake Forest. And Kansas State is a small underdog, plus one. And I think we're gonna step out and go against the ACC and go with the Big Eight and take Kansas State. These are the play-in games, 2-11 seeds. And in the other game, which is 2-16 seeds, you've got Mount St. Mary's against Nolens. And Nolens is a 1.5-point favorite. And we're going to go ahead and lay the wood there, or lay the favorite. And I'll give you a couple of predictions today. Gonzaga will not win the tournament, in my opinion. They'll get knocked out. I wouldn't even be surprised if they get knocked out before the Sweet 16. You know, one of the problems is they were a great Cinderella team, but they're no longer Cinderella, and they do not play a tough enough schedule during the year, so that always creates a problem. I think that Northwestern, they made their first tournament ever. I'm going to say got a tough matchup in their first game, although they're the 8 seed versus 9 seed. They play Vanderbilt. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to predict them to win as well. And I'll give you my national championship winner tomorrow, right here on the Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. This is March Madness, or Bubba Madness, one of the two. And of course, you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and you can download the show every single day. And of course, the Sporting Edge, which is now being hosted by Xander. And of course, our soon-to-be Emmy Award-winning Bubba's Bottom Line, available to you at bubbatrading.com. And one more thing, futures class, brand new futures class starts on Thursday. Hedging starts tonight. If you want to get involved, go sign up for them. Best classes you'll ever take. This is The Bubba Show. Everybody have a great day. Enjoy the games tonight. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Good night.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.